Thank you so much, Karen. That is the last time I'm going to tell you what I'm preaching on.
Sorry.
To throw away all my notes and start here. Good job. Just to continue the tradition of just one or two things amusing, this is not so much a joke, but this is about laws of the universe. Is the law of mechanical repair. After your hands become coated with grease, your nose will begin to itch. There's the law of the workshop. Any tool, when dropped, will roll to the least accessible corner. Law of the telephone. When you dial a wrong number, you never get a busy signal. Law of the alibi. If you tell the boss you were late for work because you had a flat tire, the very next morning you will have a flat tire. Variation law works in a supermarket or on the road. If you change lines of traffic or traffic lanes, the one you were in will start to move faster than one you're in now. Is that true or is that true? Bath theory. When the body is fully immersed in water, the telephone rings. The law of lines. When you walk in the supermarket, there's never anyone in the checkout line. Inverse hairdryer law, you're sure you hear the phone ringing in the background until you turn the hairdryer off. The law of close encounters, the probability of meeting someone you know increases when you are with someone you don't want to be seen with. I'm just reading this. The law of the result, when you try to prove to someone that a machine won't work, it will. Law of biomechanics. The severity of the itch is inversely proportional to the reach. The theatre law. At any event, the people whose seats are farthest from the aisle arrive last. The law of coffee. As soon as you sit down to a cup of hot coffee, your boss will ask you to do something which will last until the coffee is cold. And then the law of natural attraction. If you and your date are the only two on a 5-mile stretch of beach, the family of five will set up right next to you. The law of location, no matter where you go, there you are. You're ready to look a little further at this parable of the sower. This is the first in a series of parables that we want to look at about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Both terms are interchangeable. Jesus always spoke about the kingdom of heaven in stories, parables. And the best definition I know of a parable is that it's a heavenly story with an earthly meaning. Now, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we tell that to children, don't we? An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The problem with parables is that we automatically think that they're an explanation that everybody gets. The reality is people don't get it. And there's a reason why. So I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 1 this morning. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many, many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And then the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he who will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their ears, see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. I believe that so often people hear a parable so well explained by Karen about the seeds, and we think it's about gardening, but it's not. He's using that example to hearers who would hear it and say, yes, I get that. Now, why would you want to go and sow a whole bunch of seeds on a path? It's not going to grow there. I'm speaking to ag people here by and large this morning. It's not going to grow there. And when you plant seeds, in rocky places, it's not going to, the sun's going to scorch it. In fact, my mind went to Fiordland, and there's an amazing ecosystem in Fiordland where the trees are growing on the side of a piece of granite. There's no soil there, but there's lichen underneath. And all the roots of the trees spread out through the lichen, and it requires the rain to keep that growing. Take the rain away, it shrivels, and you've got tree avalanches, which you may have seen in Fiordland. It's a very delicate thing. So, there's some real stuff here talking about that kind of thing. And then, of course, there's the thorns that choke out the seed. And in good soil, it grows well and produces a harvest. The people of the day could not believe that Jesus was the Messiah. And he wanted to tell them that he was the king that had come. And he brought his world with him. And it was a very different kind of kingdom. He was a good king, a benevolent king. And he came in a different way than they expected. They were looking for a Messiah to arrive on a white horse and deliver them from Roman oppression. And he was going to bring everything, and it was going to be the consummation of the ages, and everything was going to be so good. And instead he comes on a donkey, and he gets crucified. And they heard the story that he had risen again from the dead. But Jesus wanted to make some things clear. You see, he had cast out devils. He had healed the sick, and he taught the requirements and benefits of the kingdom. But they just didn't understand. Respectfully, I wonder that we are not a whole lot different today. It's difficult for us to understand the things of the kingdom. And so Jesus still speaks to us in parables. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that those seeing, they may not see, and those hearing, they may not understand. That sounds a little bit weird to us, doesn't it? But if we're not searching, if we're not looking, we're not going to find. That's why the vast majority of people, when they hear the good news of the kingdom, that Jesus came to be the deliverer, the healer, the coming king, it just goes right past. They're not looking. They're not searching. So the aim of the parables will draw out the masses, the few who would grasp what Jesus was getting at, and those that didn't, just didn't. So, our first slide there. Next one, thanks, Joe. Parables reveal truth to those who are hungry and concealed it from those who are too lazy really to look at. Spiritual understanding sometimes just escapes us. And I think this is an interesting parable that starts to help us get the message here. God's word brings light for those who are searching for it, hungry for it. So, the parable of the sower, the seed and the soils, was probably Jesus' first parable. Foundation parable for the kingdom of heaven. Interpretations of most of Jesus' parables are not there, but this one is. And we're going to look at it and a little bit of depth. So who is the sower? No doubt that it's Jesus. He's been teaching the crowds. This unique Sermon on the Mount that we read of in Matthew 6. It healed the sick. He pointed to his great work of deliverance. He was sowing seeds of the kingdom everywhere he went. Everywhere Jesus went, what were the things that he did? He healed the sick. He delivered people from demons. He raised the dead. They were the seeds of the kingdom, and people were not getting it. They didn't know that it was a king that had come. They just couldn't quite get that kind of understanding. So it's a foundation parable. And the disciples were going to get first in on this. Jesus was the sower. The next slide. Who is this, the sower? As I said, Jesus. I'm better look at the notes here that Karen messed me up with. His kingdom was coming in with seeds, not swords. With God's revelation of his mysteries, not human wisdom. With changed lives through his touch, not Satan's dominion over people. So it was about this Jesus who was the sower. What's the seed? And that's important. That is the next slide we're looking at. He gives the key to understanding how the kingdom of God is to be found. He said, "What? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God." We kind of hear that and we know that. But do we really, really honestly know how powerful the seed of the word of God is? Let me tell you how powerful it is. 1950, a long time ago, 1951 actually, the missionaries who were in China, in mainland China, were kicked out of China, told to go, and they went. If they didn't, they died. Particularly with OMF at that time, wonderful, amazing things were going on. Sowing the seeds of the gospel, preaching the word of God to people in China. Missionaries were not there between 1951 and 1980. During that time, Christians in China went from approximately 1 million to conservatively 50 million Christians in China during that time. Revival broke out everywhere where the seeds of the kingdom had been sown, where the word of God had preached. Where it wasn't preached, there was no revival. What is the seed? It is this powerful word of God. So the written word of God at that time, when Jesus spoke, was only was about the Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been given. So it's just like those two, after Jesus rose from the dead and he talked with those two on the road to Emmaus, and as they stopped and they ate together, their vision was, wow, their hearts were warmed within. And what did Jesus do when he talked with them? He revealed to them who Jesus was, beginning with Moses in the Old Testament, all the way through, and told them. So the word of God is really the seed that he's talking about. We're privileged to be living now. We've got a Bible. We've got electronic Bibles, we've got it on our phone, iPads, whatever. And yet a lot of people just don't actually think about the word of God anymore. It's not relevant. It's boring to read. All that kind of thing. It's powerful. The Bible says it's quick and powerful and pierces even bone and marrow. Incredible stuff, God's word. So in the Church of Jesus Christ, which is still unbelievably relevant, just in New Zealand we struggle with it, but all over the planet, the church is growing at a phenomenal rate because seeds of the kingdom have been sown. People are fearlessly preaching the word of God, not political correctness. And bother with that stuff. And where that is fearlessly preached and proclaimed as the word of God, the seed of the kingdom, does something. And in other parables, we're going to look at what it does when that kind of happens. So let's have a look at the soils, because that's the critical piece in this whole thing. Seed is hugely important, but the soil is so very important also. It's obvious that the soil is the human heart. And as I said, ag people know about this, obviously. You know, that's a pretty easy thing to grab hold of in this parable about different soils. And, you know, we put all kinds of different chemicals in the soils to produce a crop. If you're not into chemicals, you'll do it in a different way. But neither the seed nor the sower can change the soil. In this parable he's talking about, the same sower and the seed produce no crop, some crop, much crop, and it depended on the soil. Quality of the soil that matters. So let's have a look. Seed on the path. Fields in Palestine were small, separated from one another by paths where it was beaten flat and people walked backwards and forwards. It was like concrete. And as a sower just went out there and threw the seeds around, some of it fell on the path. Birds came, took it. It's kind of the same when the seed of the Word of God is proclaimed and it's received by hard hearts. The enemy comes and snatches whatever word it was, just gone. They hear it and it's gone. Seed put on a rock, some of it fell on stones, and a thin layer of soil. In fact, it was just a little thing that came to mind. It was a strange thing. I was out there with my grandson the other day, and we're fishing, and I managed to fish and catch a rock. Never been able to catch a rock before. Took a little bit of pulling in. It was a small one. But it had something growing on it, and the hook was so sharp it caught on there and pulled it in. But it didn't last long. We prefer fish than rock. So the seed falls on rock. That's the one who hears the word, he says, with joy. Receives it with joy. But since it has no root, it only lasts a short time. There's a lot of people that receive the good news of the kingdom of God and say, yay, praise God, that's for me. And then the sun beats on it, difficulties come, a few problems in life, it's gone. It's gone. The cost of being a Christian hasn't been counted much. Sometimes, and I say this to my shame, so often we preach the good news of the kingdom, but we don't tell people what it's going to cost. Do you know what it's going to cost? You've got to die. Sorry. It's not just believing. The Bible says the devil even believes. He trembles. No, you've got to die. And that's what it means with the soil going into the seed going in the good soil, which we've kind of come to in a minute. But the thorns, let's look at this one for a moment. Jesus refers to the soil of the heart where a person hears the word but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. I don't know about you, but even as a Christ follower, it's so easy to have the cares of this world and the distractions of stuff that takes away from the pure hearing of the Word of God. It's so difficult. So the person answers the call of God by saying, yes, but life gets clogged up with this world's stuff. I'm sure all of us in the room can resonate with it. It's a fact. It's true. So in each of these three types of soil, the Word of God doesn't operate mechanically or inevitably. And I think that's the parable. We can't push the parable too far, but it's not just inevitable. It's not just automatic that you chuck some seed out there and things grow. It's not inevitable that the Word of God is proclaimed and people just respond. It's got to be a desire to take it and to run with it. So let's look at the good soil. Soil can't change by itself from bad to good. It's either good soil or it's not good soil. And the soil of our heart has got to be good soil. Won't be hard, unresponsive, uninterested in the message, bored by the Word of God. The gospel won't be a passing phase or be preoccupied by worldly fears and desires. It's got to be an honest desire to go for it. I know when I first came to Christ, I was a defector from New Zealand pagan society. No knowledge of God, didn't know anything about God. But there was some determination within him, by the Holy Spirit, I believe, to start searching and reach. I could not get enough of the Word of God. I could not read enough of the Word of God. It started to change my life. I felt like I had a late start in life. I had a desperation, really, to catch up, find out all I could, get to know God. That's when I started to understand what the kingdom of God was about. It doesn't come casually. It does not come casually. The good soil person, said Jesus, is the man or woman who hears the word and understands it because they embrace it. I want it. It produces a crop. Jesus is showing himself to be my disciple. All goodness, righteousness, and truth, what pleases the Lord, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's going to be evidence about the kingdom of God because it's landed in good soil. It's there. Perseverance is the mark of someone who's truly embraced the kingdom of God. Not just a casual thing. Perseverance. Jesus said these interesting words at the end of this parable. And this is why it's so important. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why did he say that? What kind of hearer are you? And what kind of hearer am I? Is our hearing impaired by the frequencies of this world? What it has to offer, which is wonderful for a time but never satisfying. I am so encouraged as I read and research that all over the planet, particularly young people are embracing again the desire to seek out God and God only, the worshippers. You know, we've all been created to worship. There's something in us that will worship. And if we do not worship God, we will worship something else. We will. So, my encouragement for us this morning about this parable is that we've got to reach out and grasp it. When the seeds of the good news of the kingdom come your way, and if you're a churchgoer, they come your way every time you're at church. If you read your Bible during the week, it comes every time you open your Bible and read it. The seeds of the kingdom are there. What are you going to do with them? I think so often for us who are Bible-believing Christians is that we have so much Bible and we know so much, we don't grasp it and we don't embrace it and it doesn't change us. The kingdom is all about change, but we've got to die. You know, a seed that falls into the ground and the good soil has got to die. It's implicit. Not expert in the parable, it's implicit, it's in there. But the seed that is in good soil has got to die and change, and then it produces fruit, some 60, some 30, some 100, but it produces something. If my life is not producing something, there's no death going on there and there's no resurrection going on there. We've just celebrated Easter and we've thought again of the death and the burial and resurrection of Jesus. And sometimes we think, well, yeah, that was a nice fact of history. But this parable is talking about death, burial, and resurrection. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the seed of the kingdom of God. And Lord, for all of us in this room, myself first in line, Lord, I pray that you'll give me understanding, comprehension of what it means to grasp the kingdom of God because the King has come. Lord, thank you for this wonderful King Jesus who came to our planet. The eternal Christ became Jesus. Lived amongst us, demonstrated what this world was all about, the kingdom life. Went to a cross to demonstrate that dying has got to happen. Rose again from the dead demonstrating that fruit will only result from a resurrected life. So God, I pray that you'll help us to have understanding of this parable today. And in Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. Amen. I'd like you to listen again. Fiona has chosen this to listen again. If you were with us last Sunday, you would have heard this by song by Ron Canole. It's an oldie, but a powerful song. Let it wash over you. You might want to sing it if you like, but enjoy it.
Just survive. been some sowing going on in the last few days or so, as you see those green shoots appear, may death, burial, and resurrection and kingdom life come to mind as you watch the miracle that God does in a seed. I shared with you a few weeks ago that I was encouraged to go out and spend about 10 minutes looking at a leaf. Now, that could appear to be somewhat strange, but I tell you what, it was life-changing to do it. Life-changing to do it. I encourage you to do the same. Look at a shoot that comes out of the ground. Life-changing. And God bless you as you go.